You just move on automatic pilot.
Yeah.
If you change things around every now and then, you have to be aware and think. And I think that's always a good thing. Since we finished the Baptist preacher's 13 questions about baptism and all that, and we were, I think, pretty much proved the point that water baptism is the entrance into the kingdom. And he took Cornelius and wanted to say that because Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they spoke in tongues, that that's when they were saved. I showed not last Sunday, but the Sunday before, that it was said Peter was going to give them a message by which they'd be saved, and the Holy Spirit fell when he started to speak, and they spoke in tongues while he was speaking. So it is not salvation. Talking in tongues is not salvation. Balaam's donkey talked in tongues. He wasn't saved. Peter says, who can withhold the water for these to be baptized? That's salvation. So once we established by the ending of those 13 questions that water baptism is absolutely the essential way to get into the heaven, Ed asked, well, which water baptism is correct? Because people are water baptized in the Baptist church and Methodist church. They're water baptized in the Mormon church. Does it just have to be immersed in water? Yeah, and the reason I had Thomas read this is these disciples who Paul had to baptize again, they said we were baptized with John's baptism. That means how were they baptized, Thomas? They were immersed in water. Well, if that's all there is to it, why did Paul have to baptize them again? Because that's not all that's to it. So just because you are immersed in water in another denomination or another, or the Baptist, Methodist, Mormon, just because you're immersed in water somewhere, is that the correct baptism? Obviously not, because we just read that. By answering his questions, we know that water baptism is absolutely essential. And by reading Acts 19, we know that there's something more to it than that. So he said, when he first talked to them, he said, he asked two questions. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? We were not taught this as part of the gospel. What are you talking about? He said, well, baptism, the first question he asked is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And then he says, into what were you baptized? How does Paul equate believing and baptized? Same thing. What did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Into what were you baptized? He makes them equal. So to say you believed the gospel means you were baptized. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He said, we weren't taught that. We weren't taught that part of it. He said, well, into what were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. You know, the point is, what were you taught about this? And they said, we were taught John's baptism. Christian baptism is wash away your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. John's baptism, anybody remember that from last time? What's John's baptism? Forgiveness of sins. It's in Luke 3. John's baptism was forgiveness of sin. Mark 1:4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So why were these 12 baptized in water? What did they think it was for? Forgiveness of sins. If you were baptized for the forgiveness of sins and that's all you were taught, would Paul say you're okay? No, he'd say, what about the indwelling Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? He said, nope. We're going to have to teach you a little bit more. Into what were you baptized? John's baptism. I've had a lot of people tell me, well, I was baptized in this denomination, and I did it for the forgiveness of my sins, so I'm okay. Well, no. Paul's answer is that's not any good. Because you were baptized to have your sins forgiven, that's not Christian baptism. It's not, in the Scriptures. Paul is no good. Water baptism is something else. You have to be taught something else. Well, the first response, when you say that I was baptized for the forgiveness of sin, and that's all, I was the same person after baptism that I was before. I was just forgiven. That's John's baptism. If Thomas was taught The Holy Spirit's going to convict you of your sin, and you're going to decide to be a good person. And now to get the sin off of you, you're going to be baptized and wash away your sins. And when you get out, you're still Thomas. And now you dedicate your life to not sinning again. He's not a Christian. That's not Christianity. That's not baptism. Is it?
No.
No. The whole point of baptism is I tell people, Thomas, when you go down this water, you come up, you're not Thomas anymore. You're born again with a new name, a new family, a new body. You are not the same. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit that's going to guide your life, that you're going to try to surrender yourself to bit by bit by bit. You didn't go down Thomas and come up a better Thomas. You went down a dead Thomas and came up Jesus Christ, you know, alive in Christ. That's what they weren't taught. They were just taught John's baptism. You went down as a person, you came up as a better person with an idea to live a better life. No. No. Well, the first response to when I talk to people about this is they say, this 12 did not know about Jesus and His death and resurrection. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. That's why I had you read the first part. Apollos was teaching all the things about Jesus accurately, but he was teaching John's baptism. These people in Ephesus, Luke wrote in the very next set of verses, these people in Ephesus were baptized. They were disciples of Jesus, but they were taught John's baptism. Who do you think taught these 12? Apollos. They knew accurately everything. They just didn't know what baptism was for. Now, are there people that are baptized that don't know what baptism is for? Then that's not it. That's not it. The answer from Scripture is, Acts 18:25, Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. So if salvation was just being taught accurately what Jesus was and what he did, and that he was raised from the dead and taken up to heaven and is coming back again, if I taught Thomas, if I taught you everything about Jesus accurately, is that enough to save you?
No.
But what if you believed everything about Jesus accurately? But, you know, when you believe, you're saved. Obviously not. Because it says he taught everything about Jesus accurately, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and taught him the way of God more accurately. Well, if all the information about Jesus was accurate and he only knew John's baptism, what did Aquila and Priscilla teach him? Correct? Water baptism. That's the way of God. So people who say that the ceremony is not important, it's what's in your heart, No, sir. Ceremony is important. Aquila and Priscilla taught him the way of God by teaching him correct water baptism. Now, Peter said, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call to himself. Correct water baptism is you are dead in sin and trespasses and can do nothing. You're not a good person. You're not a holy person. You're not a righteous person. The Holy Spirit hasn't come into your life. You haven't been born again before you hit that water. You're as dead as you always were. You go down a dead person. Now, are there many, many people who believe that they're born again and made alive before they come to the water, Thomas? What would you say to them? It's not correct. Well, they say, well, I was baptized in water, Thomas. I was immersed in water and brought up, and so if you say it's essential, I did it, I'm okay.
No.
What do you mean, no? That's your opinion. That's right. We know from the verse of these 12 disciples who had to be re-baptized, re-water baptized, that just being baptized in water is not the magic. It's what are you putting your faith in? What's the promise? The promise is to dead people that you will be born again, raised up from the watery grave like Jesus was raised from the dead, who was cursed by the law. You're cursed by the law. In faith, you're taken down, you rise up again, you're a new person. You're born again, you have a new name, Jesus Christ. You have a new body, the church. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. You have a new spirit in your life. That's what correct water baptism is. Okay? So once you get that, once Paul heard this, that they didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was, he said, well, we're going to have to do this over again. We're going to teach you that this baptism is a ceremony to bury your dead flesh, to raise you up in the never-dying body of Jesus Christ, the church, and you're going to have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. Once they understood that, he baptized them again. Well, the second response to this would be, well, I hear it, is, well, what if I didn't completely understand all that? What if I wasn't taught all that, but my intention was to be joined to Jesus Christ in the baptism ceremony? You know, I wasn't told about the indwelling Holy Spirit, you know, but my intention was, you know, I was baptized in a different church, different faith, different denomination, but my intent of being baptized would be joined to Jesus Christ. So just the intent, the ceremony, and the correct intention of the heart, that makes me joined to Jesus Christ. Baptists, baptized, Mormons, Catholics, most all the Christian faiths teach a form of baptism. Is it just what you intended when you were baptized? Well, let's go to Scripture. The answer for that is in Genesis 29:25. Genesis 29:25 says, so it came about in the morning that Jacob looked, and behold, it was Leah. You know what I'm talking about? Jacob went and contracted to Laban, the father of Rachel. He said, I am so in love with your daughter. What do you want? I want to be joined to your daughter as my wife. And Laban said, you work for me 7 years, and then I'll give you Rachel as your wife. So Jacob worked for 7 years, and it says he was so in love with her that 7 years was like a day. And after 7 years, he said, give me Rachel. So Laban, you know, covered her with veils. You know, the women weren't allowed to be seen. She was covered in veils. He led supposedly Rachel to the altar. The ceremony was performed. Jacob had every intention of marrying Rachel. But when the sun came up, guess what? It was Leah. Well, Thomas, because he intended to marry Rachel, the fact that it was Leah who stood with him in the ceremony, that doesn't count. He's really married to Rachel because of what's in the intent of his heart, right? No. What do you mean, no? Well, he didn't mean for it to be Leah. I didn't mean to. I meant Rachel. So I'm actually married to Rachel, not Leah. Behold, it was Leah. Did Jacob say anything about, wait a minute, that's not what I intended. I'm not really married to her. Or did he know that whoever he stood with in the ceremony, that's it? So, my friends, whoever you stand with in the ceremony, if you stand with the Baptist or the Methodist or the whatever other faith, if you stand with them and you go through the water ceremony to join you to Christ, are you joined to the correct bride? Or are you joined to the bride you're standing with? Now, see, people get mad at me here. People get really upset with me right here. Because I'm going to the Scriptures, and I'm going, whatever bride you stood with in the ceremony, that's the bride you're with, no matter what the intention of your heart was. To me, it's not. But I've talked to people who were water immersed in the Baptist church or in a Methodist church, or they were water immersed in another faith or the Holiness Church or whatever. And they say, my intent was to be joined to Jesus Christ. I'm coming here now because I understand fully, but my intent was, and I'm going to look. I can go to Scripture and show you the bride that you stand with is the bride you're joined to. I don't care what your intent was. The father lied and the bride deceived. Now, do you have a being out there who is the father of all lies? Do you? What would he love for you to believe about the bride you stood with once you find out that, well, I really meant this one? Well, you're not really joined to her. You're really Rachel is lamb, by the way. He had to go through the ceremony again to be joined to the lamb. So if you know somebody that was baptized in a Baptist ceremony, a Methodist ceremony, a Lutheran ceremony, a Catholic ceremony, a Mormon ceremony, with a bride that... Do you guys recognize those as brides of Christ? I don't either. I recognize them as Leah, which means weary. You know, that bride is one that just makes you weary with all your duty and obligation. To be joined to the Lamb, once you realize that that the Church of Christ is the Lamb, what can you just say, well, I meant to be joined to Jesus, so my baptism in another faith or another denomination is just as good as being baptized in this church? Can you say that? I'd really like to know how. And you know me, I love to be corrected. But if you stood with another faith in with another bride in the ceremony, who are you joined to? Leah. The wrong one. So, Jacob's intent and what he thought was happening, what he truly believed in his heart was happening, is that what happened? No, he had a deceiver deceive him. And he had a woman, a bride, deceive him. Is that what the devil wants with you guys? Or with anybody? Doesn't the devil want... If you're going to think of water baptism essential, doesn't he want you to think that any water baptism is okay? No matter what bride that you stood with at the time. And the fact that you've now come here and you understand better, can you look back and go, well, I stood with that bride, but I'm really joined to this one. No. It doesn't work that way. And people get upset, and I would love to be corrected. But this is the basis of Ed's question. And this is the answer I find in Scripture. Now let me ask you, since Jacob did all that work for Rachel, he worked for Rachel 7 years. So even though he stood with the wrong bride during the ceremony, all that work really meant Rachel was actually his wife, right? Well, what about the person who says, well, I stood with another faith, but you know, all my work for Jesus means I'm with the right one? No. That's not what I see. What did all of his work amount to once he was deceived? Nothing. Matter of fact, Laban said, do another 7 to get her. Yeah, you get to do another 7. But he did it. He had to stand with the right bride during the ceremony. Since Jacob loved Rachel with all his heart, did that mean Rachel was actually his wife when the sun came up and not Leah? Nope. Since Jacob believed and intended to be joined to Rachel, wasn't she really his wife, even though he'd been deceived? No. Does the father, being a deceiver, and Jacob believing this lie, change who his bride is when the sun comes up? No. Do people think that about their baptism? That I was baptized in this church, in this faith, in this denomination. I understand you guys are right now. But, you know, I intended, I worked, you know, I believed in my heart. Therefore, this baptism, this ceremony was every bit as good as one in your church. Is it? Staying with the wrong bride during the ceremony, you're joined to the wrong bride. I can't see any way around it. If I'm wrong, tell me. But that's the way I see it. And that takes us... And I've already asked the question, what did Jacob have to do to actually be joined to the right bride? He had to go through the ceremony again, staying with the right bride during the ceremony. And how does the deceiver and father of lies try to keep people from being joined to Christ today? Staying with the wrong one, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're still joined to the right one, even though when the sun comes up, you'll realize, nope, wrong one. Which comes to the third response. People want to say, well, look, the ceremony doesn't really matter in this new covenant. It's God's grace. The ceremony, it's essential. Yes, it's essential, but for goodness sake, why are you getting so technical with all this stuff? Why don't you just be open about it and stop making the ceremony the end-all and be-all of salvation? If I worked in servitude and I work for Jesus Christ and I'm a soldier for Christ, then the covenant joins me to Christ, right? Is it your work that makes the covenant join you to Christ? What makes the covenant join you to Christ? The ceremony. Thomas, did you go through a wedding ceremony? When were you joined to Lisa as husband and wife? Before the ceremony? Or during the ceremony? Or after the ceremony? So if the church is the bride and Jesus is the husband, when are you joined to Jesus Christ? Before the ceremony? During the ceremony? After the ceremony? Why is this hard? Doesn't that make the ceremony pretty important? What if Lisa had decided she didn't want to marry you, but she couldn't tell you that she didn't want to? So she hired somebody that looked kind of like her and wore a veil so you didn't know. And the ceremony was performed with you standing with another woman. Does that still mean Lisa's your wife? Well, even though you thought it was her, why not? That's it. The bride you're with during the ceremony is the bride you're hooked to. Does the marriage covenant join you to Lisa because of all the work you've done for her? It doesn't. Does the marriage covenant join you because of that you love Lisa with all your heart? That means the marriage covenant joins you together. You know, people think that too. Well, I love Jesus with all my heart, so even though the ceremony, you might think it's not the correct one, I wasn't with the correct bride, but I love Jesus with all my heart, so that means the covenant joins us together, does it? No. No, it's not. The loving with all your heart's pretty important after the ceremony. But does it take the place or influence the ceremony or what happens during the ceremony? No. If you and Lisa stood together and she hated your guts, you're coming into an inheritance. You're going to be a rich man. She wants a rich man to take care of her. She can't stand you. But she's going to marry you for your money. Does that mean that y'all aren't really married after the ceremony because she didn't love you?
No.
Why not?
If you went through the ceremony, you're married.
Well, does it matter how much you love each other or don't love each other? Or understand what marriage is or understand the obligation? Does it matter all that? Or does it matter you said yes, she said yes, and the legal authority said you are? See, this is why God did it this way. So there can't be any, well, did I love Jesus enough? Did I know enough? Was I feeling enough? Was I penitent enough? Was I... Did the legal authority perform the ceremony in the right way? That's it. That's how you become a Christian. And to me, that's what the Bible says. If you believe in faith with all your heart that you and Lisa are husband and wife, does that make this covenant join you? No. It's got to be a legal authority performing the ceremony in the right way. There's no other way around it. It doesn't matter how much you work, how much you believe, what you thought, what your intent. None of that stuff. It's the legal authority to perform the ceremony in the proper way. That's it. That's how you become a Christian. Anything else? Nope. It's not that way. Let's say that God's new covenant is just like the marriage ceremony, which it is. Jesus is the husband, church is the bride. The ceremony stands on what you're promised in the ceremony and who you're with during the ceremony. You're promised Lisa, and that's who you stand with. Therefore, she's your bride. What if you're promised Lisa, but that's not who you stand with? Yeah. What if you stand with Lisa, but you're promised someone else? Does it change anything? No. Isn't this easy? It seems like it's pretty cut and dry to me. So you won't have people going, oh, am I good enough? Was I right? Did I love Jesus enough? Was I penitent enough? Was I... None of that stuff matters. When he saw that his bride was not the correct one, he went through the ceremony again with the one he truly wanted to be joined to. Why is that hard? Why do people want to argue? No. I was stood with this bride, but I'm really with this bride. And I intended this, but this is really what happened. And I don't know. People just don't want to accept the way God's done everything. What they did, these 12, it said when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Did they want to argue about, well, no, our baptism was fine. Why not? Why did they say you're just doing the exact same thing over again? That's silly. Why didn't they say that? Or did they know that the ceremony is the establishment of the covenant? And without the correct ceremony, by legal authority in the proper manner, you're not married. That's the whole point. They were taught the correct promises. this is the bride. You're standing with the correct bride. No more deceptions from the devil. And you are baptized into the name of Jesus Christ. That is correct water baptism. Now, Thomas, if you came to me and said, Bill, I don't know if I'm legally married. Why would you think that? I don't know if I'm legally married. You know what I would ask? Did someone with legal authority do it? Yeah. Or did you have your neighbor do it because you were about to take a trip? So your neighbor just came over and said the words and you said, I do. And you thought that's good enough. Is that what you did? Or did you go to the courthouse, apply for the license, get the license, have someone who's legally authorized to perform the ceremony, sign the license to say he did it in the proper manner, then you mail it back to the courthouse? Did you do that? Well, in this county. Well, then you're married. If you didn't do it, if a person who is not legally authorized to do it didn't do it in the proper manner, I don't care what you thought, what you believed, and how you felt. Everybody understand this? People get so upset about this because they want salvation to be love and emotion. They want it to be feelings. They want it to be your heart's intent. They want it to be your dedication and your commitment and all that kind of stuff. Does any of that stuff join you with your spouse? Nope. What joins you with your spouse? Proper ceremony by the proper person. That's it. So did God establish the proper ceremony? He sure did. He said, you take and surrender yourself. You're immersed in water as a dead person. And the ceremony is, proper ceremony means you know what's going on. You're dead as you go down. You're buried. You're raised up. Born again, Holy Spirit and comes into you. Your sins are washed away from the beginning to the end. And now the Holy Spirit's going to try to take control of your life as you surrender your selfish nature. You're joined to Jesus Christ. So there's nothing anybody can do about it. And there's nothing anybody can do to change it except you. That's it. That's it. And it's done by the person authorized to do it. Who's authorized to perform a correct water baptism? Priests. Who was authorized to do anything God did as a ceremony? Priest. Who are the priests in the Church of Christ? Every single member. Every single member of the Church of Christ is a priest in the kingdom. I had the verses that I was going to look it up. Here it is. Revelation 1:6. He has made us all to be a kingdom of priests to God and His Father. All of us. And Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride. So, if you were water baptized in a different faith, in a different denomination, by people who don't follow the truth, were the correct authorized people performing the ceremony? No. No. What happens when you realize that you were with the wrong people, with a deceiver, with people who are deceived, with the wrong bride? What do? You go to the right person with the right bride and say, I want to be joined to Jesus Christ. You guys understand? People want to make it an emotional issue. Well, how can you say my baptism is not right when I've loved Jesus and I worked for Jesus and I had all the intentions and my heart was right and my mind was right? None of that matters when it comes to husband and wife. What matters is the legal authority did it the proper way. Why is it so hard for us to accept that God said, this is how it's done, and I won't accept anything else? Why is that hard for us? Because I want it to be me. I want it to be me. I want everyone else that in that Baptist church, they were water baptized, but they're not real Christians because they stay with the Baptist church. I'm different. That water, everyone else came out wrong. I came out right. Didn't you just say God is being partial to you and not them? Does God show partiality? So how do you make it right? God, what do you say? That's what I'll do. It's that simple. If the proper people did perform the ceremony in the proper way, then you never have a moment's worry in your life. Do not ever... Thomas, do you worry whether you're married or not? She does. What? Lisa, let me come over here. Lisa, why would you ever worry if you're legally married?
Because we got married in Germany and the person performing the ceremony couldn't speak English very well and we couldn't understand what he was saying.
Did he have the legal authority to do it?
Yeah.
Did he do it in the legal way at the time?
Yeah.
You're married. Sorry. Nothing you can do about it. What your intent was and what you believe has nothing to do about it. That court, the legal system at that place, he had the legal right to do it. He did it the legal way. You guys are married. Well, we're in a different country now. I don't care. You're married. You're legally married. The point is, when you become legally married, what does God do to the husband and wife? Joins them together, one flesh. Because does God worry about whether marriage is done exactly the same in every culture? Or does he worry about the legal person in that culture doing in the proper way and joining people together? That's it. You're married. There's no two ways about it. You are one flesh, and you will be so until the day one of you goes. And there's nothing you can do about it other than quit and walk away. And then you're wrong. So should you ever worry about whether you're legally married? Denise, Bill, you ever worry whether you're legally married? You ever wake and sit up at night wondering, oh my goodness, I wonder if she's really my wife? Yeah, she's it. It's exactly the same way with Christianity. That's why God did it this way. Did a proper person, someone with God's authority, do it in the proper manner? You're dead. We're going to bury you, bring you up alive, trust God to keep His promises. That's it. That's all you have to know. If that happened, there's nothing you can do about it. You're joined to Jesus Christ until one of you dies. So how long are you joined to Jesus Christ? Forever and ever and ever and ever, unless you walk away. Just like a bride can walk away and pick somebody else and destroy the covenant, you can walk away from Jesus and go into the world and destroy that covenant. But He'll never walk away from you. There is no problem. You do not have to worry. You do not have to fret unless you stood with the wrong bride. If you stood with the wrong bride during the marriage ceremony, we need to talk about it and figure this out. If you did it for, it doesn't matter what reason you did it, if the proper people did it the proper way, you're joined. You're done. And this is the question that Ed asked me. He said, I know water baptism is essential now, but which one's incorrect? You guys understand the answer? Which one is correct? God's water baptism is correct. And His water baptism says, these people have the authority to do it. My people, the priesthood, the church. And this is how you do it. You're dead. You're buried. You're raised up. Holy Spirit indwells you. You are alive until one of you or Jesus Christ dies. And that'll never happen. You're alive forever. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
Sure.
My baptism, you were baptized in the church, maybe at a very young age.
Eight years old, right here.
And you really didn't really understand what you were really doing. You were seeing other people do it around you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we've got teenage girls, and all of her friends are getting married. And she goes, man, all my friends are getting married, and I want to get married. She doesn't understand marriage. She has no idea the obligations of marriage. But she's going to stand up there, and she has a preacher join her to a teenage boy in marriage because all of her friends are doing it. Is she really married? Does that answer your question? Does that answer your question?
Sure, there's an adult that goes through the ceremony
and right. And see, I went through this. I was 8 years old, and all I knew, the only thing I knew is I was lost. Because they said, if you sin, God sends you to hell because He can't have you. I had taken quarters from my mom's purse. I knew it. I knew that I had done wrong. And they said, if you come up here and you're baptized, It will wash away your sin and God will add you to the church. That's all I needed to hear. I trusted God's promise. I had a child's idea of what was going on. Just like you have young people that get married haven't the slightest idea what they're getting into. They're still married. I struggled with this, and that's why I studied baptism inside out. And I was baptized by the song leader. And I had this, well, it wasn't the preacher, so am I really saved? It was the song leader. Well, did he have the authority to do that? Did I know enough? Did I think enough? Did I love enough? All you got to think of is marriage. If you have young girls getting married and one of them says, I'm going to get married too because all my friends are doing it, and she goes through the ceremony, my friend, she is married. And she's going to have to learn that she took on responsibilities and to act like she's married. Same thing with us. Now, a child that can't ask to be baptized is too young. But once you have a child ask, I think I need to be baptized. You say, why? Why? Well, all my friends are doing it. Well, let's talk about this. Wouldn't you say that to a young girl that says, I want to get married? Well, all my friends are doing it. Hold it. Let's talk about this. Let's get an understanding. But if they're old enough to start asking, well, what is this? What's it for? Well, I think I should do it. Why should you do it? Well, I've been bad, and God says He'll save me. Bingo. Let's go. Understand? If the right people do it in the right way, there's nothing heaven, hell, or the devil can do about you being joined to the church. And if the wrong people did it in the wrong way, there's nothing God can do to save you. All you had to do was listen. And you decided, well, God's going to be partial to me. I was baptized in a Baptist church, but I meant to be baptized and joined to Christ, so it's okay. Wrong bride. Wrong bride. When the sun comes up, behold, it's Leah. Now, any other questions on this? If Ed was here, I'd ask him if I answered his question. His question is, what is correct water baptism? Have I answered the question? Pretty much. If there's any more, just let me know. And as we go along, if you guys have any questions, well, what about this? What about that? Let me know. I want you guys to participate. This was a dream come true today. I walked in here and Dave's already here cooking biscuits. And Josh walks in with a box of donuts. And everybody starts coming in 30, 40 minutes before they've ever come in before. And I'm going, hallelujah, praise the Lord. What in the world? And we actually had time to sit down and talk and visit. And the visitors came in. I guess they had to be somewhere. But the visitors came in and they saw people hugging each other and sitting down and eating together. And I'm going, this is it. And just because Josh brought donuts, does that mean he's obligated next Sunday to bring donuts? If there's no donuts, it's your hinder if there's no donuts tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? Just because he did it, God's going to bless him for that. Anybody else want to get blessed? Tell Josh, I'll do it next Sunday. And Josh says, well, I'll bring some drinks next Sunday. And somebody said, I've had Paul and Gwen do it. They backed up the truck and unloaded drinks here one time. They went to Sam's Club and just decided to unload drinks here at the church. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't want any praise for it. And probably don't like me telling it. But you guys, if you want to bring donuts, if you want to bring coffee, if you want to bring napkins, if you want to edify and bring stuff and get here on time and talk to people and make this a family get-together every Sunday, that's what I'm looking for. Does anybody have any problem with anything that's gone on today? Is there anything we can do? This would be the invitation. Is there anything we can do for anybody? Everybody's okay? Yes, ma'am. Don't tell me to change a diaper.
I've been looking, searching fervently for somebody to watch the girls so they can not go work.
Okay.
Tony's been gracious enough to help me up until Friday, but I have exhausted just about all of my options. I can't afford a formal daycare center. If anybody knows anybody that can help us,
okay. They really need somebody to watch the girls because both of these guys work. Tony has been watching the girls, but Tony's about to leave. They can't afford daycare. If anybody knows anyone that can keep these girls, how many hours a day from what to what?
From 8 to 6.
From 8 to 6. If anybody, Alex Cheyenne, just the most perfect little kid you'll ever find in life. They never do anything wrong. If you know anybody that can keep these kids from 8 to 6 and help them out, That's what we're here for. If you have something you need help with, this is where you bring it. And even if God can't move anybody here, He's moving heaven and earth outside here, and He's going to have it done. He would just love to bless anybody here or have somebody you know be blessed for helping out His kids. So if you know anybody that can help watch them 8 to 6, step up, talk to Penny. If you find somebody, call her, call me, and we'll work something out. Is there anything else? Anybody needs anything, wants to say anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. You know, that's what you guys are here for. You know, you're my rock. I can't function in this world unless I know I've got you guys to fall back on. I really can't do it. Does anybody else need anything? Want to bring anything forward?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Last Sunday, I might have attended a bunch of folks, and I really didn't understand. That I wanted to prosecute anybody, point fingers at anybody. It's just, I've always been brought up that